It's been a while. It's been a while, but I'm coming.
You're listening to Sparking Spiritual Growth. Welcome.
I never thought I would fall in love.
This is the podcast that builds a Christian faith through looking at lessons from the Bible and helping apply them in the real world. It's where the Bible intersects everyday life. This is episode one, and we're taking a quick look at how relationships are used in spreading the message of Jesus. Hello, the passage today we're going to look at is John chapter 1, 22 and 23. This is when John was heralding Jesus, and he was asked who he was. And so they were trying to ask him if he was the Messiah, or they asked him if he was the prophet, or if he was Elijah. His response in verse 22, well, it says in verse 22, they said to him, "Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" And this was his response. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." That quotation from Isaiah is directly related to John. Malachi also has a couple of statements about John. This is the one who is to come to herald the Christ. He is to introduce the Christ to the world. And the reason for that was because when Jesus came, or when the Messiah came, which they didn't know who it was at the time of the prophecy, when the Messiah came, if no one had gone in advance and gotten the people ready, then the Messiah would have come in vengeance. But he didn't want to come in vengeance, so he sent John to take care of things. And that is, he mended relationships. He brought the hearts and minds of the people together and toward God. He refocused them on the things they should be doing. So he's helping them to live a life of righteousness. And he had a huge effect because of who he was, because of his character, because people from all around the countryside came out to hear him and were baptized by him in the Jordan. And so this is the reason for the questions that the Pharisees sent these people to him to ask, "Who are you? You know, what's your story here?" And they wanted to know, are you the Messiah? Are you Elijah, one of the great prophets? Or are you the prophet? That's probably a reference to the prophet, that the prophecy that Moses made, that after him one would come who would deliver God's word. And the popular understanding of that idea was that there was a prophet that was going to come, and that, of course, would relate to Jesus. But he said, "I'm not any of those things. I'm simply one who is trying to turn their hearts and minds of people back to God." Now, in a sense, he was Elijah, because that's the prophecy related to Isaiah and also in Malachi, that Elijah would return. But it wasn't Elijah in the flesh. It was the spirit of Elijah. That was kind of the attitude that Elijah had, and he's going to bring the hearts and minds of the people back to God where it belongs. So you can look into the Old Testament and see the work that Elijah did, and you see a lot of comparisons with what John did. And John's work was primarily to simply prepare people for the coming of Jesus. And the way he did that was to help them find a way to live a righteous life, right? So that's the message, the idea that's there. And there are a lot of things, if you think about it, that this was actually would say about God, to help us understand God a little bit better. And, you know, John brought the people, like I said, he brought hearts and minds together, and he healed relationships so that they'd be ready for Jesus, and they were better prepared then to understand Jesus and to accept Jesus and to follow Jesus. And that tells us that God is one who understands how to prepare a soil, right? So if you think about the parable of the soils, that or the parable of the sower that Jesus taught, that there's different kinds of soil. There's the same seed that's planted, but whether the seed is actually going to grow or not depends on the kind of soil that it is. And one of the things that we want to do as, you know, if we were farmers, we wouldn't just go out and just throw seed in a field somewhere. We want to take the time to prepare the field a little bit. Well, God understands that. He knows exactly what he's doing when it comes to that. So he sent John the Baptist to help prepare the way. And there are a lot of things that God did over time to help prepare people, prepare the world for the coming of the Messiah. And, you know, we can look back in history at a lot of the things that happened. He brought about the kingdoms that were present at that time. He's always been involved in the kingdoms of men. And he brought about the situation and the ruling of the Romans so that during this time period, the Messiah would be able to come. Everything was happening exactly as God had planned it out from the very beginning, before time even began. He knew how this is going to play out. And it played out exactly, perfectly to what he wanted. And so he sent John the Baptist also to help prepare, to put the final touches on things so that Jesus could come in. And Jesus wouldn't be coming as one who is intending to punish or to sit in as judge of the people. He wanted to be able to come and offer grace and mercy. And this is exactly the situation that he finds himself in because of the work that John did. So this tells us that God understands the preparation of soils, right? He's willing to work for the right timing. He's willing to arrange things so that the activities will come out in the best ways possible. We don't know how he does those things, but we can trust in his providence that he does. Romans chapter 8 tells us that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. So we understand that he's out there, right? And that he's helping us. So it says that God understands how to prepare soil. It also says that God came. Now, we understand that Jesus is God in the flesh, but the prophecy even says that. What he quotes from Isaiah, the quotation is, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." Now, the word Lord there, if you look in your Bible, in most translations, you will see that the word Lord is all capital letters. Anytime in the New Testament, you see the word Lord and it's all capital letters. That's an indication that we're talking about Jehovah God. You know, a lord, a person can be a lord. You can be a landowner and be a lord, right? A landlord. A lord just means someone who has authority over other people. So there are different kinds of lords, but there is only one Lord when we're talking about God. When they're all capital letters, that's talking about God. And the prophecy in Isaiah mentioned God by name, not just any Lord. And we can know from the context of it, the way it's stated, that that's most likely the case, but it is certainly verified by the way that this is spelled out, L-O-R-D, all capital letters. So it says that God is not only willing to help in preparation, but it says that God himself came to this earth. That's something that we can't really get around, right? I mean, that's not something that we can just look at flippantly, as if it's not that big a deal, because it's an incredibly big deal that Jesus would come, that God would come in the flesh. And this is something that John was stating for us to recognize. It's amazing to me that some people, skeptics, will look at the New Testament and say, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, all the people that are around him claimed that he was God, and Jesus himself said that he was God. So I don't know where they get the ideas. They just kind of make these kinds of things up. But it does say that God came. It also says that God has worked through people, and he's working through John. He's worked through people really for thousands of years, and John is just one of those people. And he works through us as well. So we have the ability to do things that God can work through us to accomplish a lot of things. And John had specific tasks to do. He was told specifically, this is what you need to say and this is what you need to do. And he did those things, and he did a very good job of those things. We're not so fortunate that we will have a burning bush situation like Moses, where he could go and tell God told him from the burning bush, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go, right, in Egypt. That's not going to happen to us. We won't have someone, an angel, however John found out his role. We won't have that kind of appearance of God to tell us this is exactly what you need to do. But that doesn't mean that God can't work through us. He has always worked through people. And that should be a source of encouragement for us too, that we can see that God can work through us. He has always worked through individuals. And that really is kind of ironic, you would think. You know, one of the things that I would do if I were God, and I'm not casting judgment on God, this is actually showing my limitations. But what I would think I would do would be to tell everyone myself that Jesus is coming. I would have a come to them in a dream, or I would just make sure that they knew somehow it would be written in the sky, something. But he didn't do that. He entrusted that to human beings to tell other people. And there's a great amount of wisdom in there, in that. And it shows that we think so differently than God thinks. And there might be good reason. There are some theological ideas that relate to this. But the simple idea, the simplest way to think about this, is that there is power in relationships that we have with one another. That God has designed us to be this way. So we're more likely to believe someone that we know and trust than if we see some sign that's written in the sky. We have this these bonds, these relationships with other people, and we look at people and we see their character and we see who they are and their nature, and we know that they're trustworthy, hopefully. And because of that, we're more likely to believe them when they tell us something. And we all know how that works. If we have enough evidence, if someone comes to us and we trust their judgment, we trust their eyes, we trust what they say, we know that they're not lying to us, we're a lot more likely to believe. And that's something that God has always worked through. He's worked through relationships that we have. We can have a great amount of influence on other people by the relationships that we have as well. Now, there are exceptions to that, of course. Sometimes family, a brother or sister may not be believed in a family because we know them a little too well. But the exception really just proves the rule. That is, we trust people that we know. And the relationship is very important. It's very powerful. So it tells us that Jesus came in the flesh, and it tells us that God understands how it is that we will come to believe, and that is through the relationships. That's a very powerful input into our lives, and it is also one of the reasons that John came to kind of bring together again the hearts and minds of the people, both together and to God, because relationship is where it's all about. And that idea of relationship is something that is repeated constantly in the New Testament in many different ways. And so we need to take heed to that. It also says that God showed what true power and wisdom look like. You know, when Jesus came to the earth, he came as God. He came to gain followers. He came to win over the world, right? That was his intention, so that all men might be saved. Even though he knew that wasn't going to be the case, that not all men are going to be saved. In fact, he said most people won't follow him at all. He still came for that purpose. He wants everyone to be saved. And because of that, he came and he's showing what true power is all about. It's not about control. It's about creating these relationships and these bonds. The things that Jesus did, the way he lived his life, that shows what true power and influence is all about. Lasting influence comes through the relationships that we have, that we build with one another, and also the relationship that we have with God. And so this is showing the heart of who God is. And the fact that he would reach out to us and become human to be one of us so that he can bring us to him. He's going the extra mile. I mean, he's going all the way, right? Is off whatever it is that he could do, he did it. And of course, the only exception to that is he's not going to force us to follow him. But whatever else he can do, he's already done. And so we have the ability to come to him, and the force of that really is based upon relationship that we have with him, have with each other. That can help us along, to pull us along in the right direction. So relationships are very important. Now, I'm, of course, not taking away from the simplicity of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the only way we can be saved, because that's where grace comes in. That's where the wrath of God is unleashed on sin. And we can either pay for it ourselves, or we can go to Jesus and accept the payment that was made on our behalf. For us by Jesus, and that is, of course, that we confess our faith in Jesus, we repent of our sins, and we are baptized into him, as we're taught in Romans chapter 6 and many other passages. So as we are immersed into Christ, or immersed into water, we're immersed into Christ, into his death, and we're raised up to walk in newness of life. That's Romans 6, 1 through 7. So having done that, we have then that simplicity. That shows an extremely powerful event that we wouldn't think was such a powerful thing. But it's all about building a relationship between us and God. It's improving that relationship because we're taking away sins, right? Or Jesus is taking away our sins. And because these sins are taken away, the relationship with God has been restored. So the amount of power that is present there is it's incredibly, it blows the mind to consider what kind of power is there that would be able, what kind of power it would take to be able to save us, to make things right with God. And it has nothing to do with strength and military might or anything like that. It's all based upon our relationship with God. So that's what Jesus showed us, and it's a demonstration of God's power. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So that power that's demonstrated is really about relationship, the relationship that we have with God, the relationship we have with Jesus, the relationship we have with sin, and how that can be removed and changed and transformed, right? So that's where we can look at and say, there are a few things there in John chapter 1, 22 and 23 that show us who God is, a little bit more about his nature. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And we can help people by introducing them to Jesus too. Our testimony, the things that we say about God and about his word and about Jesus can influence the lives of other people. So that's something to consider for ourselves. And God can work through us in building relationships with other people so that ultimately they can have a better relationship with our Father as well. And it may be that we need to prepare the way for other people to be introduced to Jesus. And if you think about ourselves in evangelism as that, we're simply introducing people to Jesus. Jesus can do all the work. God can do all the work of converting and everything. All we're going to try to do is introduce people to him. So let them see him. And the way we're going to do that is to show, of course, show how he lived, demonstrate that to them in the way that we live, but also teach them the things that Jesus taught us, right? We look into the Word of God and we see all kinds of things, lessons that we had to learn in order to be closer to him. We introduce Jesus to them by helping them see those lessons. And that's the way people learn, that it's from other people interacting with them. So John the Baptist was doing the same thing. He didn't just stand up and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I mean, that was his message. That was the core of it. But he gave them a lot of instructions about how to do those things, right? So we're trying to bring hearts and minds together. People coming together, their hearts and minds in unity, and also especially our hearts and minds in unity with God. And the way we do that is we're very much like John the Baptist. We're simply heralding the Christ. We're telling people this is who Jesus is, and this is what you need to think about him, just like somebody did with us. So I hope that helps you today to think about a little bit about what you can do and how you can use your influence for other people, because that's where the true power lies. And it's not about how much we can manipulate or force or have the right sales technique so that we can close the deal and make sure people are baptized and, you know, that kind of stuff. It's really related to the building of the relationships and helping people be prepared for Jesus when they can actually encounter him in obeying the gospel. Well, thank you for listening. I hope this has been an encouragement to you. Let me know what you think about this idea, what God said, what you can see about God in this passage, and I'll talk to you later.